see all of you tonight. I hope that you've had a good week in the Lord. Glad to see you here. Ready to spend a little time with church family and be able to look through the Bible for a little bit. We'll be in Psalms 116 again. Psalms chapter 116 again this evening. If you have not already, to make sure you get by and do your voting duties. Make sure you're honoring God with your choices. Be found faithful to do so. It is a privilege that we have in this country. We have to cast our vote. Be able to have a part in the election. Many nations don't have this privilege. It really doesn't. And you say, well, I hem-hauled around and didn't get registered this time. Go register right now while it's fresh. So next time you're ready to do it. And that way you're able to take this privilege. It is really a privilege that we have. It could be like in some nations where when I die, if I was the king or whatever, and my son, he just automatically becomes. If you didn't like me, you definitely not gonna like him. You know the old saying, fruit don't fall far from the tree. The problem with the fruit, when it falls from the tree, it hits the ground and gets bruised up. And generally speaking, you're not gonna like him. So we have a pretty good, I would say, the best system out there. That's the problem they say. There's corruption everywhere you go. There is. But you know, make sure you do your part. And don't be a part of that corruption. And allow the Lord to place in office who He has chosen. That way we know we've done our part. We can pray with an honest and open heart. Because we are commanded to pray for those in authority. All right. First, Psalms 116. I'm not going to read the whole chapter again. I'm just going to read the one verse where we've been concentrating on for the last three Wednesday nights. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Psalms 116, verse 12. And that is a great question. Of course, we have been looking at this verse a little bit in detail. There is much, much to be digested when we focus in on verse number 12. And the thought that remains is concerning the benefits of God enjoyed by His people. And there was physical benefits we looked at. There were spiritual benefits that we looked at. And so when we continue to look at verse 12 and we notice the benefits, I mean, our God has been very good to us. He really has been good to us in the system that we live in under Him. The blessings are abundant. We have such a just God that He reigns on the just and the unjust. Well, Pastor, why in the world would that be? The goodness of God brings men to repentance. Now, you just think with me for a moment. Now listen, there's natural consequences in life. That which comes up must come down. That which swings around must swing back around. That's just natural. If we make decisions in life, young life, teenage years, young adult life, God knows, even midlife crisis, we make those decisions. We can't pray for a crop failure when the fruit starts showing up. It's coming. Doesn't mean God don't love you. Doesn't mean God's not on your side. It's just the natural consequence or results of choices that we make in life. The good thing is that whenever we've made these here choices and we've confessed them before God, and God forgives us of those, as we reap what we've sown, we have the peace of God which is inside of us. The joy of salvation that walks us through those. So the physical, the spiritual benefits are there abundantly evident in our life. I mean, just simply is. As we read and study Scripture, we hide the Word of God in our heart, we learn from the Bible and the passages and the precepts that are there. God's goodness is amazing. It really is amazing. I was listening to a sermon, my wife and I was driving, must have been 3 weeks ago, and I was listening to a sermon. And it was a sermon out of the book of Jonah. It's an amazing thought that he brought out, was that Jonah was directly outside the will of God when he chose to purchase a ticket and to get on that boat and to go to Tarshish. He was directly outside the will of God. And yet, it was pretty simple for him to purchased the ticket. Had a pretty good ride. Well, how do you know that? Because he was down in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. Pretty good ride. So it's not always evident that you are out of the will of God to the outside world. I mean, you and I would have been there beside Jonah. He bought a ticket, I'm buying a ticket, he had the money, we both got on the boat, he got to go down and take his nap, I'm taking my nap. But within Jonah, he knew. It's an amazing thing when you're a child of God, though things simply be going easy for you. Because sometimes the devil tries to convince us, wow, it's pretty simple going down through this way. You must be in the perfect will of God. Oh, no. Within, the Holy Spirit of God's quenched. And the Spirit of God is pricking and is talking to us and trying to get our attention. Because at any moment before the anchor had gotten pulled up, Jonah could say, hold up, guys. I know there's no refund policy here, but I'm going to go ahead and step off. Can you put the plank back down? As the boat began to sail out, he could have jumped off and swam back to shore. He didn't do it, did he? That's the goodness of God. He could have repented. It was calm. That's the goodness of God, you know. So the benefits and the spiritual, physical benefits. I mean, what's a physical benefit in that? The whale swallowed him up. He didn't drown up yonder. And it was pretty difficult down in the belly, I'm telling you. Enzymes everywhere, stomach acid all on you. You know, can you imagine waking up on the second morning gargling with stomach acid? But he was safe in his disobedience because God protected him. God had a job for him. A job that was needed to be done. So their spiritual and physical benefits are abundant. Therefore, what shall I render? That's what the question is, right? Verse 12. What shall I render? We looked at we should render love. Why? Because he first loved us. Second, we looked at we should praise him because he's worthy of praise. Third, we looked at we should worship him. We do that. He that worshiped him must worship him in spirit and truth. Fourth thing we should look at, and I told you last week when we cut it off that it was going to be our bodies, but I think we should look at first, we should reverently fear God. And we should give Him that reverence, that reverence that He's deserving of. Look with me over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse number 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Flip back over into Psalms chapter number 33. Serving that is well pleasing to God, reverence. Psalms 33. When we consider who God is, dear friend, we should be prompted to love God. We should be prompted to praise God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should be prompted to worship God. And when we consider who God is, dear friend, we should stand with reverential fear before a holy and righteous God. Psalms 33, verse number 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Listen to this. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That all the earth, sometimes I believe, dear friend, that we are not considering the benefits of the Lord toward us, and therefore, because we don't stand in reverence and stand in awe, I'm not talking about a fear where we're scared and you know, we're trembling out of, oh, He's going to kill me. We should fear the one who has control over the soul. The Bible teaches that. And that is God. But I think, dear friend, that because judgment, Brother Jim, sometimes isn't executed speedily, we lose a little bit of that reverential fear, and it moves into fear because we're still afraid that, man, judgment's coming. But I think if we keep the reverential fear, the awe of God, I think it will keep us away from that fear, like, oh no, I did wrong, and that's the fourth time I've done wrong. Is He going to get me today? And then when it does come, it does come, we lose all kinds of all fear. We lose reverential fear and just fear that God could take us up on out of here. And we just lose it. But I think if we stay with the reverential, the awe-ness, I mean, just, He spake and it was done. I think if we, this is why I'm telling you, this is why there's such an attack on creation. Because if we get the fact out of our mind that all of a sudden it just was a big boom, bang, bing, bang, boom. Wow, here we are. Tail done fell off, I stood up a man. Look what we've accomplished. We step back and remember in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that's an amazing thing, dear friend. He places the stars. You know what's more amazing? Our God, listen, our God who forgets not the stars that He placed out there, forgets not who we are. You see why the devil wants to destroy the thought of creation? He wants us to get it to believe there was some kind of big, long, vast struggle of billions and billions and billions and eons of years. How can you stand in awe when it's a... I mean, you and I, if we work at it real hard, we can make a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, some of us, we don't even work at it real hard. And we just get up out of bed before we know it. Making a pot of coffee is like a huge deal. I mean, like we're just, the day is, it's done for. If we got to measure out 12 cups of water and the line is gone on the 12. Listen, it's an amazing thing. Fill the whole jug up and I guarantee you it's probably 12 cups. But worry about where the line is. I don't forget how much coffee to put in the thing. Just fill it up about halfway through there. Pour the water in it. If it ain't good enough, dear friend, next day do it different. Don't be all upset and bothered by your day. You know what? Be thankful that you got up out of bed and didn't wake up dead. Your wife could have been done called the corner to come pick you up. Don't let your... Listen. Don't allow your mind. I know life is... Listen, life is hard. I know some of you work with some folks, dear friend. I'm telling you. You work with some that are just... They're crossed between an alligator and crocodile. I mean, they're just bad. They grumpy. They don't like life. They don't like you. They don't like their job. They don't like their boss. They don't like... Florida, and if they was in Alaska, they wouldn't like Alaska either. They just don't like. Don't allow that person and all that negativity and all that, all their tiredness and their grumpiness to overcome who God is in your life. So we lose all of God and creation, dear friend. I'm telling you, it won't be long before we lose God. We'll lose the fear that he could bring judgment. Because it's not execute speedily. That's the goodness of God, dear friend. I'm telling you, if God was killing me for everything I did out of line, I mean, it'd just be like a conveyor belt. Y'all ever remember that the cartoon where Wile E. Coyote got caught on the thing and it just kept going around the water mill? It'd go under. That'd be me. I'd just be dead, life, dead, life, dead, life, dead, life. What's wrong, Pastor? I don't know if he's dead or alive. Today, every 5, 6, 7 minutes. Why? Because, dear friend, that's the... Listen, God knows who we are, but does. He created us. He knows our frame. He knows the faults and the mistakes that we can happily happen upon. He knows that we are like the dog that returns to the vomit in the south, that turns to the mud. He understands that. That's why he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, something greater than who we are. That we might live by the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Because he knows we're left to ourselves, dear friend. Look at mankind. Mankind's got himself in a bunch of fixes so often, you know, throughout Scripture. Well, you know, that's just the old Bible story we learned when we was in vacation Bible school, Pastor. I mean, you know, the flood, we don't really know if it happened because, you know, it just, scientists said it just couldn't have happened. Well, I mean, the Tower of Babel, I mean, that's just old, archaic stuff. I know that's why he reminded us of Ananias and Sapphira. And then just, oh, but that was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, you old goat, you ain't but 40, and they got yourself in all kind of trouble, and God has rescued you time and time again. Now let's talk about it. Make excuses, make excuses, make excuses. Oh, that's old, archaic. I don't want through this here chapter of our life in church. Yes, I know
You're a Taurus, and it's not good for you to be around Scorpios. How'd you figure that out? I read this horoscope. You believe the horoscope won't be the Bible. God help us. Can't go to work today, Brother Easton. I'm a Gemini. And on Tuesdays, quarter moon, bad things happen. So I'm going to call in sick. But then you end up at a football game. You sick? There wasn't nothing about that. You wanted to go to the football game. You believe what you want to believe. My soul, believe an everlasting word from an everlasting God that's preserved it, and He's shown Himself to be true and righteous and holy, and He's shown Himself strong on our behalf time and time again. Dear friend, that's why we need to keep ourselves with a good understanding of reverential fear because of who He is, because that reverential fear will keep us from looking over our shoulder wondering where God's at. God's everywhere, dear friend. You don't understand something? The book of Hebrews says it. Everything is open and naked to the eye of whom we have to do. Fear. And then that brings us to 5 minutes to eight already. Oh. That brings us to our bodies. Remember what this study is about. This study is about what shall I, me, is what it says, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord? Not my wife. Well, I wish my wife was better. Wait a minute, won't you get better? Not about my, what shall I, not about my son, who's a teenager and you know, knucklehead. No, how about I become a better father? How about what shall I render unto the Lord? This is what this whole study is about. And Lord, when we consider the God that we have, I mean, love, praise, worship, fear, because of the bountifulness of our God, then whole bodies wouldn't be nothing. I'm going to tell you what has happened to us. You know what causes all this stuff to go on down there in Tampa? What's that stuff called? What's that thing called down in Tampa that celebrates Gasparilla or something like that? In New Orleans, we call it Mardi Gras. In Florida and in South Texas, over in Galveston, what happens on spring break? Y'all know, I'm on it, ain't I? All that stuff that's done in these bodies, which are not our own, in places that are ungodly. Yeah, Pastor, it's 12. It's 4 to 4. It's 4 to 8 now, Pastor. We've got to quit. Y'all ready? Y'all done grill me? Okay, Pastor, we got to go. No, I can't go another week. You know why we neglect so much a great gift that's been given to us, the gift of salvation, during this time? It's because we forget the bountifulness of God's benefits toward us. You know what we do, Brother Bill? This is what we do. We weigh out the fleshly moment of appetite against the bountifulness of God's blessings, and you tell me how in the world, can this mount up to what God has done to us? You know how? I'll tell you how. We live in the flesh. We fulfill the lust of the flesh. We yield ourselves to the instruments of unrighteousness. And therefore, it comes to a point in time where it's just Mardi Gras. Yeah, just Mardi Gras. It ain't just Mardi Gras. That's wicked, dear friend. I mean, ungodly wickedness. Oh, it's just spring break. I've had some spring breaks too, and I ain't never got involved in none of that stuff. Yep, our bodies. What? Know ye not
This body's not your own. I beckon to you to go to Romans chapter 12 sometimes and bury verse 1 in your mind and heart. Bury it in there. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God. What? By the bountifulness of God. To present your bodies a living sacrifice. Guess what it says, brother? Brother Paul, you know what it says? Holy. Acceptable unto God. Not unto Grandpa. We grandpas done backed up. We done gave in. We done accepted things that we never would have accepted. Which is our duty to God for saving our soul. Lord, here am I. All your bounties, all your goodness, all your reward. All of it. Take my body. Why should I give my body? Because, listen, dear friend, it's hard for people in this world to see love of God, praise of God, worship to God, fear of God when this body is lent to this world. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us this study. We got more to go. What shall I render? What shall I render? God, as we continue this study through the Word, help us, Lord, to just get a good understanding of Psalms 116, verse 12. Lord, you have been so good to us. We love you and we thank you for it. We ask you, God, to help us to really heed what you're saying to us through the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget the sign-up sheet over there or wherever, brother, for the hot dogs, hamburgers, things. Brother Ethan, where'd it go? Oh, he's got it. He's going to hang it up over there for the thing, and so don't forget that, okay? All right. You're dismissed.